verse 19. Yada sharanam atmanam.
Yada sharanam atmanam.
Aichata shaktavachinam.
Aichata shaktavachinam.
Astram bhamshirot menine.
Astram bhamshirot menine.
Atmatanam hijatmada.
Atmatanam hijatmada.
Yada sharanam atmanam.
Yada sharanam atmanam.
Aikshata shantavachinam.
Aikshata shantavachinam.
Astam bhava shivomene.
Astam bhava shivomene.
Atmatanam hijatmada.
Atmatanam hijatmada.
Yada sharanam atmanam.
Yada sharanam atmanam.
Aikshata shantavachinam.
Aikshata shantavachinam.
Astam bhava shivomene.
Astam bhava shivomene.
Atmatanam hijatmada.
Atmatanam hijatmada.
Yada sharanam atmanam.
Yada sharanam atmanam.
Aikshata shantavachinam.
Aikshata shantavachinam.
Astam bhava shivomene.
Astam bhava shivomene.
Atmatanam hijatmada.
Atmatanam hijatmada.
Yada sharanam atmanam.
Yada sharanam atmanam.
Aikshata shantavachinam.
Aikshata shantavachinam.
Astra brahma shiromene.
Astra brahma shiromene.
Atmatram vijatmanam.
Atmatram vijatmanam.
Called the Brahma Bandhu, our friend of a Brahmana. Being a friend of a Brahmana does not mean that one is a Brahmana by qualification. A friend or son of a Brahmana, when fully qualified, can be called a Brahmana and not otherwise. Since Ashwatthama's decision is immature, he is purposely called here a son of a Brahmana. Text 20. Atos Pashvisha Salinam Samadaneka Samahitaha Ajana Visamparam Pranakrishya Uvasite. Since his life was in danger, he touched water in sanctity and concentrated upon chanting of the hymns that join with their weapons, although he did not know how to withdraw such weapons. Therefore, these subtle forms of material activities are finer than grosser methods of material manipulation. Such subtle forms of material activities are effected through purification of sound. The same method is adopted here by chanting hymns to act as nuclear weapons. 21. Thereupon, a glaring light spread in all directions. It was so fierce that Arjuna fought his own life in danger, and so he began to address Lord Shri Krishna. Arjuna Uvacha, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhava, Vakana, Vahayankara, Pamanego, Dhyanana, Apaparayo, Sisamshite. Arjuna said, "Oh, my Lord, Shri Krishna, you are the almighty personality of Godhead. There is no limit to your different energies. Therefore, only you are competent to instill fearlessness in the hearts of your devotees. Everyone in the flames of material miseries can find the path of liberation in you only." Quote, Arjuna was aware of the transcendental qualities of Lord Shri Krishna as he had already experienced them during the Kurukshetra war, in which both of them were present. Therefore, Arjuna's version of Lord Krishna is authoritative. Krishna is almighty and is especially the cause of fearlessness for the devotees. A devotee of the Lord is always fearless because of the protection given by the Lord. Material existence is something like a blazing fire in the forest, which can be extinguished by the mercy of the Lord Shri Krishna. Spiritual master is the mercy representative of the Lord. Therefore, a person burning in the flames of material existence may receive the rains of mercy of the Lord through the transparent medium of the self-realized spiritual master. The spiritual master, by his words, can penetrate into the heart of the suffering person and inject knowledge transcendental, which alone can extinguish the fire of material existence. So I have done a little research on these verses, and I have gone to Srila Prabhupada's lectures, and I have found the comments which he has made on these verses. So we'll listen to what Srila Prabhupada has to say about these verses. And we'll also talk a little bit about how to become fearless. So we'll read verse 19 again. When the son of the Brahmana, Ashwatthama, saw that his horses were tired, he considered that there is no alternative for protection outside of his using the ultimate weapon, Brahmastra, nuclear weapon. So Prabhupada brings up the point that he's not a Brahmana. He's not a real Brahmana, because no real Brahmana would do such a thing as he's doing now, invoke this Brahmastra weapon. And he's not acting as a Brahmana, so therefore he's not accepted as a Brahmana. And this is the Vedic system, that if you have the qualities of the Brahmana, if you have the worth of a Brahmana, then you're a Brahmana. And so he's not acting, first of all, he killed the sleeping son's broken. And now again, he's throwing Brahmastra. And we'll see in the future that again he will throw Brahmastra to kill an embryonic person in the womb. So he's not really acting as a Brahmana. horses are tired, and he's seeing Arjuna coming after him. So he feels, well, I don't have any alternative, I gotta use the Brahmastra. And Srila Prabhupada said that this Brahmastra is very similar to our modern nuclear weapon. There is radiation from it, just like we have radiation from the nuclear weapon. So there is radiation from this Brahmastra also. And people were feeling it. People were feeling hot. And we'll see later on that Krishna will inform Arjuna. Arjuna is wondering. He's not sure what's happening. And he didn't do anything. He went to Krishna. He didn't just throw his own Brahmastra. He went to Krishna. And he said, please, protect me. Please, Krishna, Krishna, help. And so we should do that when we feel the heat of this material world and we feel that we're burning in the fire of material existence. We should say, Krishna, Krishna, help. Please help me. So previously, they would throw the weapon and they would counteract the weapons. That was the whole battle, was seeing who could counteract each other's weapons. You throw a fire weapon, somebody else would throw a water weapon. But nowadays, they have these nuclear weapons, but they don't have a counteraction. They don't know how to counteract it. It's so quite different from the Vedic times. Now, another difference between the modern times and the Vedic times was that now everything is on the gross, gross level. They use guns and all these gross things. But previously, the warfare was a mantra war. It was a war of mantras. And just by mantra, people were fighting. They would chant a mantra, and a weapon would go out. Somebody else would chant another mantra, another weapon would go out. And so there was, I mean, they also had the gross bows and arrows too. But also the more advanced fighters would fight by mantra. Arjuna, he knew all those mantras. And so, yes, we'll go to verse 20. Since his life was in danger, he touched water and sanctity and concentrated upon the chanting of the hymns for throwing nuclear weapons, although he did not know how to withdraw such weapons. So very deadly mantra weapon. Srila Prabhupada said he wasn't working in a laboratory finding out different chemicals to make an atomic nuclear weapon. Just water. All he needed was a little water. And he would chant his mantra, touch the water, and the mantra would go out. Just by touching water, like at initiation, we have a pavita pavitova saravistam gatotiva yasmaret pundarikacham sabayabhyantara shuchi. Just by chanting, by worshipping Krishna, by chanting our mantras, chanting Hare Krishna, we get purified. And so it works. It's not a ritual. It actually works. Mantras work. If we chant it properly, without offense, Hare Krishna, then it will work. Of course, there are different qualities of the chanter, like Haridas Thakur. He could chant, and he was so advanced, he was a young man, in the middle of the night a beautiful lady comes, and he says, yes, yes, very nice, please sit down, I'll just chant a little bit, and we will enjoy together. That was Haridas Thakur. Of course, we have a problem with our minds, what to speak of other people, and we have our idiotmic problems. So he was very advanced. Lord Chaitanya has advised, Iha hoite sarva siddhi hoibi tumar, that just by chanting you'll get all success of life. And so this is the blessing of Lord Chaitanya. We have our mantras, we can chant, if we follow the regulative principles, then we will be perfect. Like in India, they have these snake charmers, and they have mantras to cure, to calm the snakes, to control the snakes. So Prabhupada tells a story about one snake charmer. He came to a medical school. There were these medical students, and he was showing the snakes, and they were making fun of him, and they were saying, ah, you're snakes, they don't even have the teeth and everything. And so the snake charmer let all the snakes loose, and all the medical students were running around away from those snakes. And the snake charmer said, don't worry, as long as I'm here, they won't bite you. So don't mess with the snake charmers in India.
Yes, we see them in Vrindavan. They come with their little basket and they blow their horns, whatever. Another thing happened, my friend Radha Kun, she's a big book distributor. She went on traveling Sankirtan and she went to one village. And she went and she set up the book table and it was right at the spot that belonged to a snake charmer and he didn't like it. So he sent a snake to bite her. And her leg swelled up. She didn't die, but she went to the next village and she found another snake charmer and he chanted the mantras and took the poison out. So that happens. That still in India, you can get by mantra, you can cure the snake bite. And so we have our mantras. We have our Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's coming from Goloka Vrindavan, Golokera Primadhan, Harinam Sankirtan. Not ordinary sound. If we chant it properly without offense, then Prabhupada said, just one time chanting is enough, not 1,000 times. But we need to do 1,000 times so we get that one perfect one. We need to practice. And so, it's so powerful. Mantra will act. So I was reading that there's these temples, there's these monasteries, or some temples in India, they're like on the top of mountains, and they're constructed with huge pieces of stone that nobody could really carry up that mountain. So people, the British, one time, they sent someone to find out, how are they building this temple? And the British person went to check what they were doing. And they were chanting mantras. Somebody would chant a mantra and the stone would go up on the top. They weren't carrying the stones. The guy was really, wow. And you can build temples by mantra too. And there was another temple that used to float above it was like levitating for a long time. I don't know which temple that was. Where was that? Konark, yeah? Now it's not levitating anymore, huh? It's still? Somebody messed it. Yeah, it's Kali Yuga. So, yeah, but by mantra, and these scientists are experimenting with this sound. They are experimenting that how sound can move things, how sound can do things. And so we have our mantra. And if we constantly keep in company with Krishna, then we're near the fire and we'll stay warm. There won't be attack of cold or anything like that. So the Goswamis in Vrindavan, they were chanting Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natibi. So we have to practice. Prabhupada said practice makes perfect. So we practice every day how to be fixed in our mantra. And if we do it properly, then in one life we can get perfect. We can go back to Godhead. And Prabhupada often told us that you finish it in this life. Don't take another birth. Chant Hare Krishna now. So let's go to verse 21. Thereupon a glaring light spread in all directions. It was so fierce that Arjuna thought his own life in danger. And so he began to address Lord Shri Krishna. Arjuna said, "Oh, my Lord Shri Krishna, you are the almighty personality of Godhead. There is no limit to your different energies. Therefore, only you are competent to instill fearlessness in the hearts of your devotees. Everyone in the flames of material miseries can find the path of liberation in you only." So this is the first time we are seeing Krishna appear in Srimad Bhagavatam. And he's driving Arjuna's chariot. So here is one of the connections between Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita, it's before the battle, and Krishna is about to drive Arjuna's chariot. And here, now we see him entering Bhagavatam. He's driving. The battle is not ended. He's still driving Arjuna's chariot. And so that's one connection, because we say Bhagavad Gita is first, and then comes Bhagavatam. So here's one connection between Gita and Bhagavatam. This chapter 7, it's the first appearance of Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, there is one more connection, and that is in the second verse, Dharma Projita Kaitava Atra, that all cheating religions are kicked out. All cheating dharma is kicked out from Srimad Bhagavatam. So what's the connection? The connection is that most important verse from Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Pritya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. That's a connection. Another connection, Krishna says, okay, forget all these nonsense dharmas and just surrender to me, Mam Ekam. And so then Bhagavatam says, yes, kick out all the dharmas. Another connection between Gita and Bhagavatam. That's in the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have two connections here. Arjuna is showing that Krishna is God, although taking the position of a chariot driver. So first request from Arjuna is for protection. Krishna's first activity in Bhagavatam is protecting his devotees. Today I was looking at the lotus feet of Radharani, and I saw one chariot on her lotus feet. And the very interesting meaning of that chariot is that Krishna is the chariot driver for his devotees. So isn't that nice? We got Krishna for our chariot driver, according to that. So yes, and Arjuna is showing that Krishna is the chariot driver. So here in this verse, the word sansriti, material existence, Prabhupada takes up this world in the midst of material miseries, here it says. Continual suffering. This is samsara, davanala. Davanala means the forest fire. Here it says dayamananam. Dayamananam. Even if you don't want it, you will still burn here. Where when we come to this world, we sign a contract for suffering. And yes. So Arjuna is saying here, Tvam Eko. Only you can save me. Nobody else. And that's the same, another connection with Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Mam Ekam, only me, surrender to me. Mam Ekam, Tvam Eko, Arjuna is saying. Surrender to Krishna. Dayamananam, burning. And Srila Prabhupada in his lecture said, this is Sansara Vishanale. He's quoting, I think, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Sansara Vishanale. So this is Vishana. What kind of burning is this? It's not an ordinary fire. It's a poison fire. More infectious. It's a poison fire. And so only Krishna, Krishnaika Sharanam. We have to take shelter of Krishna if we want to be saved. Yes, but you know, Thakur sings, Vishaya Vishanali Divanisha Hiyajale. Day and night I'm burning in this blazing fire. Poison fire. And so there's, just like there's poison from the nuclear bombs, the radiation. And so this material existence is poisonous. It's very poisonous. But Arjuna is very intelligent. So to save himself from this burning fire, he turns to Krishna, Mahabha, Ho, Almighty Krishna. And so this in this world, we have the problem of fearfulness. But the devotee knows, yes, Krishna will provide. He's giving to the elephant. He will give to me also. He's not afraid. Ahara nidra bhaya maitanam, the four things, the four problems, not problems, but the four necessities of material existence are being provided by Krishna. And that's why the devotee is fearless. He feels this protection. One time, Srila Prabhupada was asked by a reporter, what does it mean to be liberated? And Srila Prabhupada said, it means to be fearless. So sometimes these imposters, they would claim to be God. And so Srila Prabhupada, it wasn't Srila Prabhupada, one of his disciples met such an imposter, or just not a big one, just a small one, like somebody in the street who thought it was God. And so he asked the person, do you cross on the green light? And he said, yes. He said, okay, then you're not God. Because God wouldn't worry about the green, he could cross on the red light and not be afraid. Very simple test. Very simple test, if you're God or not. So here it says, Bhaktanam Bhayankara, Krishna's devotees are fearless. But even great yogis are afraid for their lives, like Durvasa Muni. He tried to kill Maharaj Ambarish. Ambarish was just standing there. Okay, Lord, as you like. But then when the Lord sent his Sirvishanchaka, Durvasa was running everywhere. A great yogi. He was afraid. He wasn't just standing there, okay, Sudarshan, burn me. No, he was afraid. So we have, here it says, Abhayankara, Abhaya Charanarvinda, that's Srila Prabhupada. We take shelter of Prabhupada's fearless lotus feet, and he saves us from fear. So Srila Prabhupada would often advise us, if we want to be free from fear, take shelter of Lord Nrisimhadev. Lord Nrisimhadev. So I'd like to share with you now the second part about being fearless with some verses from Prahlad Maharaj in the 7th canto, 9th chapter, where Prahlad says, "My Lord, who are never conquered by anyone, I'm certainly not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue, your eyes bright like the sun, or your frowning eyebrows. I do not fear your sharp, pinching teeth, your garland of intestines, your mane soaked with blood, or your high wedge-like ears. Nor do I fear your tumultuous roaring, which makes elephants flee to distant places, or your nails, which are meant to kill your enemies." The Prabhupada said that Lord Nrisimhadev's fierce appearance was certainly most dangerous for the non-devotees. But for Prahlad Maharaj, such a fearful appearance was not at all disturbing. Lion is very fearsome for other animals, but its cubs are not at all afraid. So then he prayed in the next verse, this is 15 and 16 of 7-9, that what he was afraid of, he was afraid of something. What was Prahlad afraid of? "O most powerful and surmountable Lord, kind to the fallen souls, I've been put into association of demons as a result of my activities, and therefore I'm very much afraid of my condition of life within this material world." So he's afraid of association, bad association. "When will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the ultimate goal for liberation from conditional life?" So we want shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. In Vrindavan, when somebody is dying, they said, "Oh, I got a letter from Srimati Radharani. A letter came for me." So he's, Prahlad didn't get his letter, and he's asking, when will you call me to the shelter of your lotus feet? And the purport of that verse, Prabhupada says, in other words, everyone should be eager to return home, back to Godhead, taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, thus being fully trained in Krishna consciousness. So according to this last purport, the mercy comes from the spiritual master. Lotus feet, taking shelter of lotus feet means taking shelter of the mercy representative of Krishna. The mercy is coming through the spiritual master. And then we can go back to God. Here it says, how being fully trained. If we take shelter of lotus feet, how do we become fully trained? It means by the spiritual master. Take shelter of lotus feet, thus being fully trained in Krishna consciousness. So another verse, 5th canto. Om namo bhagavate narasimhaya namaste jaste jase avira vipavava janakam vajadamsa karmashyam randayarandaya tava gaskas om saha avayam avayam atmani pulisht om sham. I offer my respectful obeisance unto Lord Nrisimhadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possess nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for food of activity in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. So Nrisimhadev was roaring. Prahlad was not afraid. The demigods were all afraid. They tried to pacify Nrisimhadev. They all offered prayers, each and every one of them, but they could not pacify Nrisimhadev. So they pushed Prahlad forward. Now you go. He came because of you, so you got to do it. You got this job for you. So then what happened when Prahlad got pushed forward? 7-9-5, Swapada mule patitam tararpakam ilokya deva kripaya pariputa utapyata shirshna datat karambujam kalahi vichasta tiyam kritabayam. Lord Nrisimhadev saw a small boy Lal Maharaj prostrated at the soles of his lotus feet. He became most ecstatic in affection toward his devotee. Raising Prahlad, the Lord placed his lotus hand upon the boy's head because his hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all of his devotees. The Prabhupada says in the purport, necessities of the material world are for ahara nidrabhaya maitanam. In this material world, everyone is in fearful consciousness, sadasam vigna dhyam, and the only means is to make everyone fearless is Krishna consciousness. Lord Nishinadeva appeared, all devotees became fearless, except the demigods. But then after Prahlad pacified Nishinadeva, they also became fearless. The devotee's hope of becoming fearless is to chant the holy name of Nishinadeva, yato, yato, yamitato, Nishinga. Wherever we go, we must always think of Lord Nishinadeva. Thus, there will be no fear for the devotee of the Lord. So wherever you go, think of Lord Nishinadeva, and you won't be afraid. So Prabhupada commented on this. As soon as Brahma asked Prahlad to pacify the Lord, Prahlad fell down at Nishinadeva's lotus feet. And so he was so pleased, you know, when a small child offers obeisances and we become happy, 5 years old, and he became so pleased. So not only for Prahlad, anyone, Prabhupada says, in this material world who offers his obeisances before the deity, it is taken into account. So Krishna advises, here's Prabhupada's advice. If you cannot do anything, just do 4 things. Manmana, Bhavamad Bhakto, Majaji, Mam, Namaskaru. Think of me, come my devotee, worship me, offer obeisances. And so we come in the temple, offer obeisances. So easy to go back to home, back to Godhead, Prabhupada says. Just offer obeisances. That's all you have to do. Not a very difficult task. If you can't read books, if you can't understand philosophy, if your behavior is not on the standard, if you simply offer your obeisances before the deity, you make progress, Prabhupada said, undoubtedly. So if you feel like you're really fallen, you just offer obeisances and then Krishna will be happy. So then, 796, Satakara Sparsha Dutakila Shupa Sapad Abhivyakta Paratmadarshana Taparapadam Hidinivitota Hishatanaklina Hidashilachana. By the touch of Lord Nishingadev's hand on Prahlad Maharaj's head, Prahlad was completely free of all material contamination and desires, as if he had been thoroughly cleansed. Therefore, he at once became transcendentally situated. And all the symptoms of ecstasy became manifest in his body, his heart filled with love and his eyes with tears. And thus, he was able to completely capture the lotus feet of the Lord within the core of his heart. And so Srila Prabhupada mentions the hand of the Lord. Prahlad got the hand, but there's also something hard in the shan. You can't, Ranikashipu got the nails. So there's a soft part, there's a lotus part, Kamala, and then there's a hard part. There's the nails. Tavakara kamala bare nakam adbhuta shingam. So this is adbhuta. It's very amazing that in the same place you're finding something really soft and something really hard and piercing. And then when you see a lotus flower growing, you don't see nails, something sharp coming out like roses have thorns. Lotuses don't. But in this lotus, there were thorns. The lotus hand of Lord Nishingadev. So this is inconceivable shakti of the Lord that he can have 2 things at once. So when Prahlad felt the hand of the Lord, he was thinking, oh, how blissful is this hand. And immediately all his material unhappiness disappeared. So Prabhupada said, we can have the same facility in this age. We can have Nishingadev's hand on our head. Well, how can we do that? Prabhupada says, if we become like Prahlad, it's possible. So in this age, Krishna has come in his sound vibration, Kali Kali Namarupe, Krishna avatar. If we chant Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada said, we get the same benefit as Prahlad, same facility. Name is not different from Krishna. And Krishna is so kind, he's coming now for us in this form, the holy name. So Purnam, it's full, it's complete. We get the same benefit, Srila Prabhupada said, as Prahlad, by direct touch of the lotus palm of Nishinade, no difference. So we should know that when we chant Hare Krishna, we're touching Krishna with our tongue. And you can even meditate that while you're chanting that you got the hand of Nishinadeva on your head too. That's an interesting way to chant. I've tried it. Yes, it's very nice. Now in the sixth canto, 16th chapter, the Lord explains how he is Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, all the same. But at the end he says, but now I am manifest in two forms, Param Brahma and Shabda Brahma. So Param Brahma means the deity of the Lord, and Shabda Brahma means the sound vibration. So in the third canto it's described, if you see the face of the deity, the smiling face, you see the decoration, you see all the garlands, you see the jewelry, you become liberated even unwillingly, even imperceptibly, even against your will, you'll become liberated if you just look at the deities and meditate on their beauty. So this is the power of the Param Brahma, the form of the Lord. And then we put it together with the Shabda Brahma, the sound vibration, then we become joyful. And in the verse in third canto, chapter 25, around 35, 36, says that the devotees, they pray to the Lord, and the Lord talks with them, and they hear the Lord answering their prayers. And so this is how we develop our relationship with Krishna, by the deities, by having relationship with the deities, and having relationship with the holy name also, Param Brahma and Shabda Brahma. When Brahma, at the beginning of creation, beginning of his day, he was praying, he was offering prayers for protection. And he was worried about two things. He was worried about falling down from two causes. First, due to pride. He was afraid of falling down due to pride. And secondly, due to deviation. He was afraid he might deviate from the Vedic principles. So as Brahma was praying, he was praying for protection. Arjuna is also praying for protection. So we should also pray. And I'd like to share with you one nice prayer from His Holiness Sachinanda Swami. There is a simple solution to one's difficulties. So if any of you have difficulties, here's the solution. Turn to the Lord and say, "My Lord, I cannot solve this alone. It is beyond my capabilities, intelligence, plans, ideas, and so on. I sincerely request you to accept me as your surrendered soul and protect and maintain me." Protect me means keep me in a situation where I can function and the problems of material existence don't upset my life that much. That sounds good. We can function and we're not so disturbed by the problems of life. So that's protection. And maintain me means maintain me on the spiritual platform. And if you read Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 22, where Yoga Kshemam Vahamyam, the Lord says, yes, I will. He will carry what you lack and protect what you have. If you read the purport, it's all about maintaining you on the spiritual platform, that you will keep your spiritual life intact. So Maharaj says, if you do this prayer, if you do this simple step, a very interesting thing happens. The problem which looks so big, which looks like now my life is finished, start to shrink until it is the size of a hoofprint of a calf, which you can easily step over. So there you have it. Arjuna's praying. We should also pray. All the devotees are praying for protection. Demigods are always praying for protection. If you read Bhagavatam, so many prayers of the demigods. Some demon is always attacking and they're praying for protection. And so we should also pray like that in our day, during our day. So I'll stop here. If there's any questions or comments, you can ask at this point. Yes. Marumachi.
Thank you for the very nice class, Madhavani. Just in the end, you were mentioning, you were making the point that maintenance for one's spiritual life And you also mentioned about how the demigods pray for protection. So we see the demigods pray for, like, getting even their house back, so to speak, the heavenly planets.
That's
yeah?
true. It's not just spiritual.
Yeah, and so that's where my question was. I mean, we see that, and I mean, Krishna is the one who maintains us, even materially. So I guess it's fine if we pray to Krishna or expect that from him?
Yes, it is fine if we pray for our material maintenance also. But some devotees are on a higher level where they don't pray and they get it. And Krishna takes care. Like Prahlad, he was like a little child. And he was a little child, but he didn't even know how his necessities were being taken care of.
Okay, so we may or may not pray, but isn't Krishna the one who is maintaining us?
Yes, Krishna is maintaining us. Just like now Arjuna is praying for protection materially. Mm-hmm. He's not worried about his spiritual platform. So he's the example here. Arjuna is the example of praying for protection from material miseries. Yeah, it's we have the example right here. First prayer in Srimad Bhagavatam. Help, Krishna. And then comes Uttara, same thing. Help, Krishna. Yeah, the Brahmastra is coming to kill my embryo. Yes, somebody in the back, was it Sukada?
I've always found this idea of prayer a little confusing, you know, because you're not supposed to really pray for something material. But let's say, you know, there's someone in your family, your child is having such a difficult time, so you're praying to Krishna to help them. But, you know, at the same time, knowing that, you know, sometimes you go through a difficult time and you emerge a better person, a more Krishna conscious because of what you're going through. And like you mentioned, that the highest platform is you don't pray. You kind of understand that Krishna is taking care of everyone and everything. So I guess one of my questions is, like, when you pray for something material, kind of, you know what I mean? Is that bad?
No,
because it's, maybe you're interfering with the way things are supposed to go.
Yeah, here Arjuna is praying for something material. Kardama Muni in the third canto asked for a wife.
So
Arjuna is here showing us, yeah, it's okay. You can pray for protection from the virus, from whatever is happening now in the material world. Please protect my family from this attack here. We are under attack at the moment. And yes, we need to pray.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good, thank you.
Yes. Yes, over here.
So, if I'm wrong, please correct me. To go on in the spiritual life, you need a peace of mind. And the peace of mind means you need the basic necessities in
right.
your life to have it.
Yes.
So to have that basic necessities is not there, how am I going to chant the holy name?
Right.
So is it, I don't think it's bad to ask for Krishna to provide me the basic necessities so I can perform your devotional service nicely.
Exactly.
Otherwise, how am I going to do it?
Right. Our body doesn't belong to us.
Right.
So we have to work to maintain it. And if the work is not working out, then we have to pray. Right. We do as much as we can.
I mean, it's not exaggeration to get something so opulent. But
right.
I need some basic necessities.
Yeah, just the basic necessities.
And also, I think Srila Prabhupada said one time somewhere that these people will not able to, somewhere in Philippines or somewhere, You said that these people are not able to take up Krishna consciousness somewhere because they are very poor.
Mm.
You said somewhere. I'm not exactly quoting. So is that my understanding?
Yes, we do need to pray, and otherwise, especially if we are feeling that suffering, that we don't have enough to eat, we don't have enough, a good place to stay, we should pray. We are devotees. We are helpless. And so there's different ways to chant Hare Krishna. One way to chant is like a child crying for its mother. And so we can pray like that, like a helpless child, that, okay, I'm doing my best, but still, somehow, I'm not maintaining myself properly. Please help me to maintain. Please help me.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Thank you. Wonderful class. You know, sometimes when you pray, you have a certain way you expect the results. So how do you know that your prayer is being answered and just accept whatever comes?
I mean, how do you know your prayer is being answered?
Yeah, because sometimes you have, you know, a specific problem and you're praying, you know, and then later on I've had realization that, oh, there was an answer to the prayer. Mm-hmm. But sometimes immediately you don't, because, you know, your vision is so limited how to solve your problem. But Krishna has this amazing vision. So when he answered the prayer, sometimes it doesn't come the way you expect it.
Does it ever come the way you expect it? I think Krishna has his own ideas how he wants to answer our prayers. And we may think, oh, how is this possible? How is this? So then a good practice for us is to be grateful. Okay, Krishna, I trust you. You're giving me what's the best for me. Please help me to accept what you are giving, to see the positive, to see the good, and to see your hand in this, and to learn my lesson. If there's a lesson I have to learn here, if there's something in my mind mentality that I have to change, that may be part of it too.
I've got one more from a person, Ragadmika, who wrote in.
Okay.
She wrote that it's from Madhava Prabhu, and says, one who is constantly puffed up, who has constantly shown that his desires get in the way of pure devotional service, yet stubbornly refuses to give up material desires, what hope is there for him? Prayer seems so presumptuous. How dare I call on Krishna to solve a problem created by my own stubbornness?
Well, the thing is, it's very difficult to do anything on your own in spiritual life. We are not impersonalists. We have a relationship with Krishna. He's our friend, and he wants to help us. So we should take advantage of our dear friend, our friendship with Krishna, make a relationship with him. And he will surely help us. If we try to do it on our own, then it will be much more difficult. And that's the impersonalist way, the yogis. They control their senses, they control their minds, but no mercy there for them. Where's the mercy? So we need to also, we have to work, but we also need the mercy of the Lord at the same time. And that's why it's good to pray. And when you pray, you're developing your relationship with Krishna. You're developing it, you're cultivating your relationship with Krishna. You're talking to him and you're revealing your mind confidentially. So that's very helpful, spiritual life, to reveal your mind. And he will help you. And if you think you can do it on your own, then good luck. But our process is to, yes, we have to do some of the work, be introspective, try to get rid of the anarthas. At the same time, we have to depend on Krishna for help. Okay, we'll stop here. Our glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.